you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, fuckers, how you doing? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip of the most important sex podcast on the planet.
The only one by two female comedians. The first one, OG, you welcome.
Guys, we fucked the anti-slut-shaming podcast. Today we're going to talk to Cindy Gallup, who is the founder of Make Love Not Porn. She's a fucking phenomenal woman. And if you want to hear more of this, you're going to head over to luminarypodcast.com where you can get a subscription to listen to all of this for as little as $2.99.
Enjoy.
And by the way, just in case it's helpful, you know, I like to share the three things that I have to say in bed most often are slower, gentler, and don't touch me down there until I'm begging you to touch me down there.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll
give that to your listeners just in case they find it useful. You know.
Yeah.
But here's the key thing for anyone who is terrified of speaking up in bed. The moment you have communicated what you would like to have happen, and the guy has given you a resoundingly spectacular orgasm, he is ecstatic about mm-hmm. the end result. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've had several young men say to me, wow, you know, it's all about communication, isn't it? I'm going, yeah, you know, yeah. And actually saying, you know, you are now making me want to communicate more myself, you know, to have this conversation more often. And so communication just produces great results.
Yeah. God, I'm so horny.
you mentioned both in your TED Talk and here younger men a lot. How much younger are we talking? And is this exclusively younger men? Is that what you're into? Or do you just feel like you're unique in that a lot of women usually date people or have sex with people older than them?
Right. So to answer the second part of the question first, yes, I only date younger men because I have never wanted married. Mm-hmm. I've never wanted children. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a relationship. Mm, I adore being single. I cannot wait to die alone.
Oh my God.
And so
I
date younger men casually and recreationally for sex, and it sits me down to the ground. And by the way, I am deliberately very public about all of that because we don't have enough role models in our society for women and for men that demonstrate you can live life very differently from the way you're expected to and still be amazingly happy. And I'm one of the happiest people I know.
You're absolutely right. And like, that's something we've been talking about a lot because I'm turning 35 this month and I've never wanted kids, never been a thought in my mind. Mm. Like there's been like it's every now and then I'm like, maybe I would want to adopt one. But that to me is more like, that's different just because I feel like it's more of like a social responsibility or something like that. You know, it's like we, you know, we shame people for getting dogs bred and then we just keep making new kids. People really don't like when you say that. I've tried it on stage, but you know, moving forward,
it's too true.
It's a great point.
Yeah. And it really seems like so many heterosexual men especially really view women as more of like a mother to their children and some kind of weird pseudo mom in their lives.
Yeah.
And society really tries to tell women, I think, in a lot of ways that without marriage and certainly without children, that they have no value. I'm guessing this is criticism or trolling that you have received or no. Or maybe people in UK are classier.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in New York and have lived here for the 22 years.
Right. So,
and I grew up in Asia. So, it's just that, I mean, first of all, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And secondly, I think, again, because I talk about this a lot, you know, I'm doing what I want to do, which is I just really want everybody to stop and think about what really makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that everyone should be free to design the relationship model that works for them, which may, by the way, be different at different stages in your life. Sure. Versus very limited number, society says it's okay for us to operate. And so I just encourage everybody, you know, I'm living my life one way. I'm not saying everyone should live like this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, too many people slip into oiled grooves, you know, of what they think they should be doing.
Yeah.
Too many people live their lives based on their fear of what other people will think.
Yes.
And by the way, fear of what other people will think is the single most paralyzing dynamic in business and in life.
Yes, it certainly is.
If you care what other people think,
and you know. you can't come to your best of your ability. Like if that dominates your day to day life, the sex is not going to be good either.
I would just say that equally, I think people should be more open to serendipity, because everything in my life and career has happened by accident.
Yeah.
So making love not porn was an accident. Dating younger men was also an accident.
Okay.
I did not consciously set out to do this.
Okay.
This would have been about 18 years ago. I used to run an ad agency here in New York, and we were asked to pitch for an online dating brand, which was coming out of the UK, wanted to launch here in the US, take on Match, which was the only player at the time. And in advertising, when you pitch for a client's business, you have to experience the client's product and the entire competitive landscape. So we all had to online date. And this was 18 years ago, and none of us ever had. You know, because it wasn't a thing.
Of course, of course.
So the rest of my pitch team at the agency, they were all like married, living with, dating. They all went online as fake personas, you know, created identities. I was single. I thought, I've got to do this for business reasons. Why not do it for real?
Yeah.
Let's find out what this whole online dating thing is all about. So I registered on a bunch of sites, completely honest about everything, you know, my age, got an avalanche of, you know, approaches, very good for the ego, by the way.
Yes.
But much to my surprise, because I had absolutely not considered this as a dating strategy, about 75% of those responses were from younger men. And the vast majority of those were from much younger men.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gosh, haven't thought about this, works for me. And that's how that happened.
Wow.
That's interesting, because I'm on a dating, I don't love dating websites, but obviously like it's the time and the place. And I do feel like younger men, like men in their 20s, in their like late 20s especially, I get like a ton of traction from, whereas older men seem more interested in dating younger women. But like this new, like the kind of decade of 20-year-olds is very okay with dating women and in their 30s, mid-30s, late-30s.
And in my case, 60.
Yeah. So I'm like, how low are you going?
Yeah,
how
Cindy.
They tend to be in their 20s. And I have dated a number of 19-year-olds. I hasten to add, all because they've reached out to me. You know, I meet them on cougar dating sites. I applaud the rise of the niche dating site where everyone knows, you know, why they're there.
Right.
But here's the key thing, that because I do want to explode the notion of cougardom.
Right.
So I said very openly, you know, I date young men casually, but I have one fundamental criteria. No matter how casual the relationship, they have to be a very nice person.
Yeah.
I have great radar for very nice people. As a result, I only date utterly lovely younger men in an atmosphere of mutual trust, respect, affection, and liking. And so, ironically, my so-called casual relationships go on a lot longer than most people's so-called committed ones. So I date younger men off and on, by the way, sporadically, but over periods of 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years.
Wow.
You know, they may go on to date girls their own age. They may marry girls their own age. We like each other. We stay friends. We'll meet platonically for drinks or coffee.
Aww.
And then every so often, those relationships end, those marriages end, they come back. It's very nice.
That's really lovely because, you know, when Kurt and I started Guys We Fucked and we thought about, you know, interviewing all the guys that have been inside us, it really is interesting to think about these are the people in your life who have been physically the closest to you. But then somehow when we're done dating them, usually we'd never talk to them again. And when Kurt and I started the podcast and we're interviewing guys that we had fucked, I was thinking as we were having these really lovely conversations, I'm like, man, we didn't start this podcast, I probably wouldn't have talked to you again, which is such a shame because
It's like, I feel like I need to want something from you to want to talk to you again. I'm not really sure what it is, but.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I don't know anything about relationships, but I'm guessing that again, because of social conditioning, you'll have gone into those relationships with a series of expectations of whatever kind. And again, they may have differed at different stages in your life. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm not looking for anything. There is nothing that I should be doing with these young men. And so we just have a really nice time. We're very fond of each other.
That, you know, that's, I love to hear that perspective, because doing a dating and sex podcast when you're not dating or having sex is very interesting. And it makes, you know, we've talked about sex every week for 7 years. So it really makes me think about these issues in my life and my relationship to these things. And I cannot tell you, I was in one relationship for 7 years. I broke up with him 2 years ago. I have been the happiest I've ever, like, truly, I wake up and sometimes I'll cry. I'm so happy. And I get to go about my day at the pace that I want. I get to do what I want in my home. I don't the fact that I don't have to consider anybody else's needs except my own, and I've never considered my own needs. I've never put myself first in anything. So it's really, and you know, now I have a dog, so I put him first, but that's still, you know, a good loving relationship. That I kind of, it made me think, are relationships for fucked up people? Because I am so happy, and I've never been this happy with somebody in my life. But I wonder, like, the idea of getting on a dating app, like Corinne's on a dating app, and every time I go to pick one up, I'm like, yeah, but this is so good. Why would I want to ruin this? Like, this is the most beautiful form of harmony I could have created for myself. But when you're seeing these men, you don't fall in love with them? Or if you do you just don't, you don't ever feel attachment?
You see, here's the interesting thing. You know, I have really lovely relationships. They're just not what our society considers to be relationships. Uh-huh. And so it's not a question of, do you fall in love or don't you fall in love? It's a question of, you know, each of the men that I have, you know, had the longest lasting and most regular relations with has a very special place in my heart. And my heart can accommodate a great deal of them.
Yeah.
Again, social conditioning just limits, you know, all of those expressions.
Hey, fuckers, we hope you enjoyed that clip from our interview with Cindy Gallup. If you want to hear the whole thing and more from people like Roxane Gay, Trevor Noah, Lena Dunham, Michael Rapaport, and so many more, head on over to luminarypodcasts.com. You can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
And if you enjoy this, sorry.
What?
Yeah. I was just saying, if you enjoyed this, rate and review us on
iTunes. Rate and review us on iTunes, please.
Thank you. We love you.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.